Jackanoid Paralope is a mission-driven media company. Check out more of our podcasts at jackanoidparalope.com. Jackanoid Paralope!
The essential role of the artist is to be able to see what's unseen.
The role of the artist can vary, but principally, I think it's about cultivating the imaginary.
Being a creative puts you back in touch with what it means to be a human. And there's so much in the world right now that kind of seeks to strip us of our humanity.
From Jackanoid Paralope, this is Artist Led, a podcast about artists who have moved beyond the proverbial studio to lead efforts around systems change and community well-being. The first episode of this season, Guides on the Ground, introduced listeners to the key players and concepts surrounding this work and the sector of community development investment. This episode, we'll hear excerpts from a conversation between show host Nathaniel Crusson and the two leaders of Ash Studios in Dallas, Texas, Daryl Ratcliffe and Fred Villanueva.
So yeah, why don't we start with the easiest question first, or sometimes the hardest question, and you guys can answer in whatever order you want. But who are you guys and what do you do in life?
I'm Daryl Ratcliffe. I'm an artist, poet, writer, cultural organizer, strategist, and one half of Ash Studios.
My name is Fred Villanueva, and I am an artist, which means I do a lot of very different forms of artwork, typically experimental and hopefully things that move people out of their comfort zone with what art really is and can do.
What drew you to going outside the studio, so to speak? We were talking a little bit before we started rolling, Fred, about getting outside the studio. What drew you to working in communities at that intersection of arts and communities, and how has your focus evolved over time?
Well, you know, being an artist, I think that I've cultivated a very healthy sense of empathy, as well as seeing the community as a reflection of myself. So I really felt that there was a need for the experience that I've had to be made accessible to our community at large. And so I felt very privileged to have experienced such an incredible art journey that I feel that that type of journey could really make a cultural impact, a community impact on a mass scale in our city.
And yeah, you know, it was felt very natural to kind of work outside of a formal studio. Because A, wanting to be where people are, wanting to be close to the issues of community. And there's, you know, for all of the beauty and grandeur of formal, particularly visual art systems, the gallery world, the museum world, there are still so many people who don't feel comfortable in those types of spaces. But since art has done so much in my life and I really believe in it, then, you know, when you believe in something, you have to go to where people are so that you can share it with them.
What is, because you guys are based in Dallas, you've been working in Dallas for a while, from what I understand. What are some outcomes that you've seen from kind of like bringing arts into the community and just working with people?
It's actually been very inspiring. I've written that we see the community as our canvas. And, you know, we began, like most studios do, by hosting open studios and having art parties and networking parties. But out of each one of these events, there was always one or two, you know, individuals who would stick around and maybe be incredibly curious and really want to get involved in what our vision was. And so, incredibly, you know, after a few years that we kind of mentored these individuals, they were able to proceed to higher levels of accomplishment as well as impact than they had even foreseen for themselves. So we have a couple of case studies that, you know, began as very kind of humble studio training here at Ash Studios. And then these individuals went out further into the community to develop their careers in pedagogy, which basically meant that our impact was multiplied. And so we had this kind of sort of algebraic multiplier effect where we helped one individual who then went out and helped 1,000 individuals. So that's the type of scope that we envision as meaningful.
Yeah. And then also we've been able to kind of represent a different vision of what art and culture can be and who gets to drive those decisions. Dallas is a majority person of color city. And when we first got started in 2012, that wasn't really what the art world looked like. And so I think one of the things that we've been able to contribute is a lot of organizing. We've worked a lot with the city of Dallas. We've been able to do things like get individual artists funding through the city of Dallas and really kind of light a way for more voices to feel confident in their ability to tell their stories at a civic level.
There's so much disconnect between good art and the so-called art world. You know, like I see often going to galleries here where I might be moved by like one piece out of like 20. And then I'll go to like, you know, street fairs and just like going around my area of Brooklyn, everything. There's such talent everywhere. And I'm moved so much more often by things that are outside the world that I think you, Daryl, mentioned, doesn't feel necessarily at home for a lot of people. Like it feels a little bit removed from actual expression and kind of those opportunities for inspiration and connection. So it's great that you guys are making that more tactile, more in people's lives. And I love that thing that you said, Fred, where it's like you helped one and they went on to help 1,000. I mean, it's like those ripple effects that you have no idea just by leaning in and doing what you're doing. So talk about Ash Studios. What is the vision for the project that you guys are so immersed in right now, and how does it build upon the work that you've been doing?
Well, the long-term vision for Ash Studios is to become a development specifically for arts and community, really to become an artist and community cultural and health incubator. Because we realize that art has positive health impacts. And so really, as a family, we've been here at our development for about 50 years. And so we're trying to really map out what things would look like for the next 50 years. So really found an institution here formally is what we're envisioning. Now, I'm not really a big fan of institutions. I believe in independent energy. And I've always thought that the most interesting energy is usually that which lies outside of the center. And you create your own community, really, I think. And so we created an artist community and, you know, following through with our mission, our community really connects with our Black and Brown community. We are a Black and Brown artist space, meaning that we are welcoming to the Black and Hispanic community and really everybody in between, because we want to be a reflection of what our society really is. And I believe Daryl mentioned that our concerns were not the immediate concerns of the institutional or gallery art world at the time.
So you guys are tackling a lot with Ash Studios, obviously, like your art space, community health space. There's an affordable housing component, a residence component there. Maybe walk through like how does this vision manifest? Like where if you're doing all the things, how do you even think through prioritization and building the thing? Like walk me through kind of like your guys' thought process.
Yeah, I mean, As we talked about earlier, there's over a decade of history, and some of what's happening with the development is formalizing and advancing things that have already been happening more informally. So, you know, from time to time, there has always been artists who have laid their head at ASH for, you know, a month, a few months, etc. Being able to formalize and having, you know, 30 artists be able to claim ASH as a residence is kind of the next level. There's always been creatives who have used ASH as a place to make work. Being able to kind of formalize that, you know, becomes part of the development. ASH has always been a gathering place. Being able to have, you know, dedicated meeting and workshop space so that, you know, in a very professional way, you can bring in members of the community and they can access these incredible artists who have a heart for community.
So how we're talking about kind of reimagining how funding works, basically, you know, like to basically make it a money making endeavor to make a positive social impact and also empower artists as ambassadors for the community. So how will funds coming into this space be used? And you have a little bit in the prep doc that you sent me about how returns will be generated. But maybe we can kind of talk for a second about the money side of this, just because we are trying to like wrap investors' minds around what this thing is and how it's something new that can actually be long lasting and meaningful.
In terms of how does income happen? Well, we have tenants. They will be paying monthly rents. Residential and then some commercial. And then additionally, we'll have some things like the, say, art health workshops that will have their own contracts and generate some additional income as well. But, you know, I would say the bulk of investor money will be repaid via the affordable housing aspect of the project.
I obviously have such a heart-forward lens on this, and you're also kind of capturing this zeitgeist moment where the city is ready to invest in something and create meaningful change that's been a long time coming. There's a desire among, or not a desire, but there's a, let's call it a proclivity among people who have money to not understand the value of art. And here you are saying there's tremendous value in art for a number of reasons. So I'm curious from your perspective, what makes the light bulb go on that helps people understand the value of the work that you guys do?
Well, I know for me, that moment is usually when I see a child or a senior citizen experience art and then make a connection to, oh, wait, there's a tradition of this in my family. Oh, wait, this is actually a worthy pursuit. Oh, wait, this is something that I can do together with my community and keep community. It's very important. I can share my story. We can share our stories.
You know, one of our approaches as well to that question isn't always to lead with art, is to, you know, engage with like, what is your problem? Like, what is the problem that you're trying to solve? And then let us tell you how artists and culture can help you solve your problem.
Why do you think artists make good problem solvers in helping envision a future that doesn't exist yet?
Well, first of all, I think you need, as my mentor used to put it, a very strong stomach, because you're going to face a lot of rejection. Every artist does. But if you make it through that process, essentially you realize that failure is a part of success. And so we count a lot of our experiences that we've created here for our community as really like small successes that were made up of like lots of small obstacles and lots of failures along the way. And so we learn from those.
Yeah. And to add to that, you know, like almost every creative has to start from scratch every time. Like you start off and the canvas is blank, the sheet of paper is blank. And you have to be able to build something, hopefully beautiful or profound or whatever you're trying to communicate from scratch. And for such a long time, we had the world had lots of blueprints. You know, like it might be really hard to build a rocket, but there was a blueprint for how to build a rocket, right? And I think one of the reasons why artists are such essential problem solvers in today's world is that our problems have shifted as society. They've become not just complicated, but complex. And even if you have figured out the blueprint to a solution because of the rate of technological change and advancement, like the algorithm is literally changing every couple years. So the thing that you built before doesn't work anymore. And so artists, by training, by nature, are the ones who are used to dealing with those highly complex, changing, unpredictable situations. And those are the type of problems that we have. And I think that's why, at least for me, artists are so essential across all fields right now, because they have the training of being able to know what to do when you no longer have a blueprint.
That's probably my favorite answer of you guys so far. It also brought to mind another question, which is you both kind of work with artists and empowering artists. Before I let you guys go, I really wanted to kind of ask you, how have you found it effective in empowering artists to basically feel grounded in themselves, to feel able to express themselves and continue along these lines of, perpetual rejection, perpetual starting at a blank canvas. You guys make a home and you kind of encourage them forward. What are some words that you've found that prove meaningful to artists in continuing doing this important work?
There's one line, one quote from Joseph Campbell that has really provided some empowerment for me, and that is the cave that you fear to enter contains the treasure that you seek. And so really, I think empowering, self-empowering yourself with learning the systems that really you think that it's difficult to insert yourself into a narrative. But I think most really entrepreneurs, I think, will say, well, that's exactly what you have to do. Insert yourself into a narrative where you think you don't belong.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many faith over fear. If you're your own greatest cause, you have a mighty small cause. One shout out to my mentor, the great artist Rick Lowe. Small, organic, and messy. And so there's just so much of the empowerment is really just letting. Encouraging people to just go do it, do the thing, and get out of your head on if you're doing it well or if you're doing it as well as someone else. Do the thing because we all have to start somewhere.
One thing that we didn't hit on was the Chamber of Culture. Do you guys want to talk about what that is?
Sure. That's actually a kind of a relatively recent idea. And I was trying to find, in a nutshell, how to explain to somebody who has an MBA what Ash Studios is. And so essentially, a chamber of culture kind of mirrors the chamber of commerce. If you insert the word culture for commerce, and then you insert the word artist for business, you pretty much get the equation for what it is. And essentially, what it is I guess maybe an incubator. A chamber of culture means that artists come together to not just like share financial resources or find financial opportunities, but also to participate in a market of ideas. which apparently is not a new phenomenon. Market of ideas is typically a community where ideas are expressed. So there's really sort of a foundation for First Amendment rights and the expression of ideas and free expression and belief and things like that. But the idea of a chamber of culture is that every individual has the right to exchange ideas, to absorb ideas, and then the money is just maybe the fringe benefit of it. But really, as an art project, a chamber of culture is a place where artists come together to develop and then innovate and then pass the innovation along to community.
I've started an art salon here in Brooklyn, and it feels very similar. And I love talking to you guys about that, because just getting creative people, driven people, eclectic, kind-hearted people together in a space, like, powerful things happen. And if you make it a potluck soiree, then you get free food afterward too. So it's not too bad. Well, guys, I really appreciate it talking with you. Thank you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Y'all rock.
Well, thank you so much. And looking forward to seeing you next month.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Have a great one,
guys. Thank you a lot, Nathaniel. Bye. Take care.
Bye, guys.
The uncut version of this interview is available on the Jackanoid Paralobe Substack channel. Please take a moment to rate this show, smash that follow button, and leave any thoughts or ideas in the comments. We do read them. If you're hungry for more stories that dwell on the intersection of creativity, community, and social good, visit jackanoidparalobe.com to explore our full catalog of shows. For exclusive access to bonus content, subscriber perks, and advanced looks at new releases, join the Jackanoid Paralobe community on Substack.